You're listening to Advice Line. Dial 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Let me introduce you to the Be Still and Know exercise in a brand new way. This is a letter from a chaplain in the United States Army, Southern Baptist, about the Be Still and Know exercise. He says, I have integrated the exercise into my own personal life as a Christian chaplain. It assists me in being effective in what I call a listening prayer. I would like you to now listen to this information on a new program that is available called The Shepherd. From the beginning, an internal struggle exists within us all. As we sleep, we dream of worlds and events that are not real and we cannot touch. When we wake, this internal conflict leads us to believe in vengeful gods and an uncertain afterlife that intensifies our fear of death. Over the centuries, the ancients have passed on their secrets of life, which are often lost to humanity from generation to generation. We are thus forced to rediscover them all over again by the truest method of trial and error. By beginning the Shepherd's Four Pillars, you begin a journey of self-awareness onto the path of self-discovery and true enlightenment. In the process of awakening, you will have powerful insights. It is in these aha moments of discovery that you will experience the joy and happiness for which you have been seeking all of your life. Let's listen in to some whose lives have been changed for the better.
I have been listening to your CD for about 5 days now, and it is completely changing me, and I just wanted to thank you for that. I have been struggling for so long, ever since the moment I found out I was pregnant 2 years ago, to ensure that I wouldn't pass on the brokenness in me to my children. And it hasn't been until I've listened to your CD that I've found out how to do that. I've been listening to the CD, just confronting whatever arises. And I'm so resentful that my husband left again to go back to Iraq. He doesn't understand what it requires of me to do this completely alone, without any friends, without any family. And I was sitting there and I was thinking about all of this and I was just feeling it. And you wouldn't believe it, just out of nowhere, it hit me that I'm not resentful towards my husband for leaving. I'm still resentful for my father leaving. It was just something. I felt so liberated. It's on cloud nine. I just couldn't believe it.
I'm glad I found you. My wife died giving birth to my son, and my son was in the military and died in Iraq as a hero, I might add, saving two of the soldiers, and he got himself killed. I joined the Marines to serve this country. But I was starting to slip and began to smoke, you know. And I wanted to use your CD, and I listened to it. It took me 3 tries, and I thought something was wrong with me. But on the 3rd try, boy, all hell broke loose, and it was an epiphany, I'm telling you. God bless you. It put me back on track, and I am ready and proud. And looking up at the stars, I can see the Milky Way with my bare eyes here, and it's just a beautiful world that we live in.
Every night I take a drive out into the wilderness area around here and sometimes wept because I couldn't figure out what was still wrong. What he did for me is he bore witness to everything that was already running through my mind, and through doing that, helped me see where things went wrong. And as the resentment has fallen away, without trying, my bad habits are disappearing. The drinking's gone. The drugging is gone. I quit smoking. I don't even care about it anymore. It's amazing. I've lost 15 pounds in the last 2 months, and I'm running again. And it's all without saying I have to do it. It just happens.
I went from 300 pounds to 140. Before that, I quit being promiscuous. I gave up pot. I gave up going to bars, married. I got so much better.
I know that a lot of people are listening because I was. And I was really hurting. And it really helped me just, like, have peace at night.
As you have just witnessed, these people have discovered for themselves their aha moment that unlocks their life's mysteries and relieves them from their assorted anger, stress, and pain. The Shepherd's Four Pillars is a unique collection of insights and coping strategies for the modern era. You can begin with any pillar. Please keep in mind there is nothing to learn, nothing to study, nothing to expect. Just relax and listen, read and explore. It's just that simple. Now, this United States Army Southern Baptist chaplain says the Be Still and Know exercise used as a listening prayer decreases the clutter in my mind and helps me be more effective and creative in my thought process. The practice of silence and solitude is at the very core of the Be Still and Know exercise. Ladies and gentlemen, you have this at your fingertips. Go to FHU.com, learn the four pillars of the shepherd, and your life will be completely different. You will not believe the changes that will occur without any struggle. FHU.com, and watch a beautiful presentation, a slide presentation of the four pillars of the shepherd. FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227 during regular business hours Monday through Friday.
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
Have you seen what's happening out there? Have you even bothered to look?
I have been searching for you. You are going to be a force for good.
Try to understand what I'm saying. You are not you. This place has altered you, brainwashed you. They've turned you into someone else. You've been manipulated, forced you to be a slave.
Your mind has been altered, tampered with. Someone is controlling you.
Let's go. There's more to learn.
This is Advice Line. Now, here is David Masters.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Advice Line, the David Masters version. The number here, 1-800-866-8883. And I got to tell you, the TV programs that I'm watching these days are very, very interesting, because the content is not just now about, you know, cops and robbers and crime scene investigations and all that. They're really moving toward the realm of the paranormal, which is, you know, there's a lot of stigma attached to the idea of a paranormal. There's a lot of things that happen to us in our daily lives that are not what you would call normal. And I have been an experiencer. I'll tell you right now, I have experienced near-death experiences on a couple of occasions. I have had an out-of-body experience that lasted 3 days. I have had dreams in which my life was radically, radically changed. And I'm not talking about your typical dream. I don't even know if it was a dream. I don't know what to call it. But I've had experiences that have not been what I would consider to be normal experiences. So, paranormal, outside the normal. And the shows that I'm watching, again, you know, it's Fox News, the news leader on cable and on television. Fox News and even ABC coming forward with some very good stuff on Fox News. Monday evenings, usually it's Lie to Me. Did I say Fox News? On Fox Television. Lie to Me. And it's all about how this guy is able to look at people and analyze them and watch their facial reactions and their eyes and all the, you know, muscles twitching. And he's able to get into the truth. And he gets in people's head, kind of like my dad does. And I'm swearing to you that I think they base a lot of these characters on these programs on a guy like my dad. And I'm going to talk about Fox right now, because the ABC shows aren't on right now. Fox on Thursday night. An awesome program called Fringe. And again, they're peering through the curtain into other dimensionality. But you see, when we talk about other dimensionality, some people's eyes roll up and they go, oh my God, this is not that kind of thing. They're talking about parallel universes. Well, guess what? My dad has a book that he's written called Secrets of a Parallel Universe. You probably never even knew that. You should read it. It'll change your whole view of reality. Secrets of a Parallel Universe. Because we do live in a parallel universe. There's no doubt about it. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I'll go back to the Bible, which is a good reference book. And a very good manual for living. The Bible says we struggle not with flesh and blood, and I'm paraphrasing, but with principalities and powers. To make it short. Well, these principalities and powers, where do they exist? Who are they? What are they? Those are important questions. And if you're not asking those questions, you're missing the whole point of living. Please, get with the program. But that's what this program does. It asks many questions and it gives many insights, glimpses into otherness, other possibilities, other ways of seeing. That's what this program is all about. And once you begin to, first it begins with yourself. The first truth you see is a truth about yourself. And that sounds cryptic, I know, but it really isn't that mysterious because, you see, there's always been a desire in human beings to discover the source of all knowledge. And, you know, we have the story of the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve and the whole fall of mankind because the serpent in the garden, according to the story, presented a mind-altering substance to Eve. And he said, God doesn't want you to know what he knows. That's why he told you, don't eat that fruit. So the forbidden fruit has always been with us. Always, and it always will be, I imagine. And the forbidden fruit represents the knowledge of all things. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not interested in the knowledge of all things. And as a matter of fact, I'm really not interested that much in knowledge itself, period. But understanding the nature of things, things that are seen and not seen. You know, there's a verse in the scripture, I don't know where it is, I don't know what it is. But I remember reading it, and these things stick to me like a tattoo on my head, inside my brain. Stuff gets tattooed on my brain, that's the way I'll put it. But the verse is, what is seen is created by what is not seen. And then from that, everything begins to sort of revolve around this idea that this universe that we see is a manifestation of a universe that is not seen. Even the Bible says it this way, what is sown on earth is also sown in heaven. Paraphrasing again. Because to me, the Bible is a code book. It's full of codes and keys to understanding our relationship to the parallel universe that we live in. So I'm going back now to my critique of these programs. The Dollhouse, that this season 2 just ended, and I hope they bring it back. I think it was only meant to be a short-run show, but man, did they get some good stuff out of that show. And, you know, the interesting thing is my wife watches a couple of daytime programs. And I'm even seeing this deeper truth showing up in these daytime shows. The mind, the soul, very much the subject of interest in movies now. And the big movies like The Matrix really, really busted the door open. The Matrix, the first Matrix, the second and third ones, some good production values there, but the first Matrix movie busted the door open for the world of the paranormal to really be examined. But see, what's happening is that whoever it is that's doing the examining, they're getting their, I don't know, they're getting their material from some pretty interesting sources. And I know there are a lot of people in the film industry and in the television and radio industry and, you know, people that have run huge websites that are the most visited websites in the world that listen to this program. And I really believe that this program is a source of inspiration for a lot of the stuff that you see that's going on in our media. But my interest is one of really the idea that looking beyond, you know, into the unknown, into the undiscovered country, is becoming fashionable. And I'm not talking about, you know, bizarro stuff necessarily. Some of it's bizarre. Some of it's kind of like on the level of X-Files, because X-Files could have been a great show, except for they had too many different, too many chefs spoil the food. What's that old saying? I guess that's close. That's racist! Sorry, you just broke a speech law. You know, you're going to get fined. That's a speech fine right there. You're going to have to pay me $5 when I see you. Hopefully not. But anyway, the point is that The X-Files was good when it was good, and now they've got this new show called Fringe on Thursday night at 9 o'clock Pacific time, wherever you are, Eastern. And, man, it's great, because they really look in, and they're asking some of these very difficult questions about the parallel universe. And so how does this all apply to you as a person? I think it applies on every level of your life. I think it really does, because what you don't know is hurting you. Well, you haven't yet even began to find the questions for about your life is hurting you. What you don't see, what you don't recognize is hurting you. It's pulling your strings like invisible puppet master. Those are those principalities and powers, whatever those may be. Now, I say, on a fundamental level, it's good and evil. Some people like to say, well, there is no such thing as evil. But I say back to those people, well, it's evil that says there is no evil. See? Because evil likes to hide in plain sight. So it becomes a part of our everyday culture, and it sort of integrates itself like a virus. It has kind of injected itself into our social DNA and our psychological and pathological ways of being and our spiritual existence. And what it does is it has to sort of desensitize you. Like, for example, the mosquito. Now, there is a satanic device, if I've ever seen one. I mean, if I ever get to go to heaven, please God, I will ask God the first two questions, the mosquito and the avocado pit. Okay, because the mustard seed has the smallest seed and it grows the biggest tree. Anyway, the mosquito has a sort of an anesthetic. And so does the vampire bat, by the way. And that's how they're able to feed on an animal without the animal being aware of what's happening to it. It's the same with the mosquito. You know, after the mosquito's fed and gone, you get the little itching bump. That's kind of how evil operates, if you think about it objectively. So there's some kind of anesthetic that's got to be injected to you. Otherwise, what would happen is, now, when I have very good hearing, and believe it or not, I can detect a mosquito. If I'm in a place where it's not too loud, I can hear those little guys. It's sort of a natural survival instinct, because, I don't know, I just don't like creatures sucking my blood. But the same is true of the metaphoric mosquito of evil, the temptations of everyday life, the things that drain you of vital energy, of life force. Each one of them is a mosquito or a vampire bat or some kind of a creature that has some kind of anesthetic that it applies to you and then robs you of something. So this is, I've become very, very acutely aware in the course of my life, because I've been stung so many times, as everybody else has. But the difference is that some people, well, there's a saying, and I believe this is on Wall Street. It may be in the Capitol, but it says, if we fail to learn from history, we are doomed to repeat it. I think that's on one of the Capitol buildings or something, the Supreme Court, I don't know. But you see, most people utterly fail, utterly and completely fail to learn from experience. But I go back to this point, is that we're doped up. See, we're on some kind of mind-altering something. Now listen, it doesn't have to be a drug. Drugs have various kinds of effects on people. Alcohol, tobacco, food of every kind. And then you have your toxic substances. But the kind of mind-altering substance I'm talking about is the H-bomb. Or for the mind, it's hypnosis. The atomic bomb of the mind. And every human being, at some level, exists in a semi-catatonic state, which means we're only partially functioning. We're only partially awake at any given point in time. Some people more than others. But to the degree that a person is under a hypnotic influence, to that degree, those who are not under those influences look at them and see their behavior as odd. Or they stand out. And just to kind of give an example, you know, they make a lot of movies these days, and I don't know why, but they make a lot of movies about the gangster culture, you know, the rap, the gangster rap. I suppose those are oriented toward, you know, propagandizing, you know, what's left of the young people into thinking that, you know, prostitution, drug running, and murder is, you know, all part of a cultural, a cultural sector of many cultural sectors, one slice of a pie of many possible slices. But, you know, those of us who are not in the drug culture, well, we can see. I mean, it's clear. Everything about the gangster rap and the drug culture that it revolves around, it's clear that the big, you know, the big chains and the big clothes, you know, the giant t-shirts, the huge pants, wearing their hat sideways, whatever it is that they become identified with and used to identify themselves. To the rest of us, we say, whoa, man, somebody needs to, you know, rehabilitate that kid. And I see parents doing it to kids. I take my kids to the park, and I see the kids with the mohawks and the earrings at the age of 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, you know, and the long ponytails and so on. The counterculture people, my kids look at them, and I just say, hey, just example of what not to be. I don't judge them because they're kids. And, you know, but kids grow up to either be a reflection of their environment or a rejection of their environment. See, so one way or another, if we become a reflection of our environment, then we just carry the environment forward. And we continue to go on through our lives believing that that environment that created us and gave us the personality, installed the software, and pushed the button and got us running, we believe that all of that stuff is who we are. So we reflect that environment. But if we reject that environment, then we try to run away from it as far as we can, because we don't want to be like what it is that we didn't like when we were children. And so we go to the other, in many millions of different variations, we go to the other extreme. Some all the way, some halfway, some only a few steps away. But you see, going back to my point about the H-bomb, the hydrogen bomb of the mind, hypnosis, every human being is influenced by hypnotic energies, hypnotic ideas, hypnotic music, hypnotic food, hypnotic culture. Everything that we encounter at some level has an ability to exert an influence over us. And so we're not living our own lives. And see, and so the hypnosis itself, this mind-altering stuff, is all just ideas and thoughts and beliefs that you accept. And then once you accept them, for whatever reason, you adopt them. And once you adopt them, they become yours. And after a while, you forget that those weren't your ideas, that they didn't originate within you. You see, most people, you grow up, wherever you grow up, you don't even know. You have no idea what's happening to you every single day of your life, that you're being indoctrinated into a cultural belief system, whatever it may be. There are microcultures, the individual family, and then there's the macroculture, which is the street, the city, you know, the town, the country, the world. There are varying degrees of micro and macro cultures that we move in and out of every single day of our lives that we're not even aware of. But see, when you become aware and when you start to become awake, the first thing that happens is you begin to feel the pain of the extraction of your life force, of yourself that you've been numb to, like I was talking about the mosquito or the vampire bat. You begin to become aware that your whole being is full of incisions and mosquito marks. And that's what people think of, and what I call guilt and anxiety, fear, phobias, obsessive compulsive disorders. See, these things are the residue of the loss of self under a state of hypnotic influence, under a mind-altered condition. Bits and pieces of your life force and your substance are extracted. And eventually, I read a horrible story today. A 49-year-old woman, a very, very wealthy woman, murdered her 8-year-old son and then tried to commit suicide because she was going through a divorce. And then when they found the bodies, the woman was still alive, and then around her were strewn all kinds of drugs, you know, psychotropic drugs, mood-altering drugs. You know, what would it take for a person to think the best thing they could do for their child is murder them? You see? And so the hypnosis that we find ourselves under is enhanced, and think about this, by the culture, because the culture even plays television commercials that say, you know, if you can't pay attention at work, maybe you have adult ADD. Or the commercial might say, you know, you can feel better. If you're depressed, ask your doctor about this drug or that drug. And you see, what happens is, the reason why you're feeling depressed, my point of view, the reason why you have anxiety, the reason why you are not keeping your mind in the moment, is because you've lost your mind. It's been taken. And you're a POW, a prisoner of some kind of spiritual war that's taking place right now in your life. Now, you want to talk about it? Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. Maybe you want to listen some more. I got some good stuff. 1-800-866-8883. I have more. I'm David Masters. This is Advice Line. 1-800-866-8883. Don't go away.
Have you been diagnosed with depression and struggle with sadness?
Maybe you're scared of being criticized.
Loss of interest, aches and pain.
I'm always thinking something terrible.
Ask your doctor about Effexor XR.
Ask your doctor about Cymbalta.
Talk to your doctor about Zoloft.
Talk to your healthcare professional.
Get your doctor today.
Your doctor.
Tell your doctor.
Contact your doctor immediately.
Talk with your doctor.
You're listening to Advice Line. Dial 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Oh.
Are you ready to stop struggling with your problems?
Every night I'd take a drive out into the wilderness area around here and sometimes wept because I couldn't figure out what was still wrong. What he did for me is he bore witness to everything that was already running through my mind, and through doing that, helped me delve into my past and see where things went wrong. And as the resentment has fallen away, as he says, without trying, my bad habits are disappearing.
Are you ready to stop being so emotional and angry and upset all the time?
The drinking's gone. The drugging is gone. I quit smoking 5 months ago, and I don't even care about it anymore. It's amazing. I've lost 15 pounds in the last 2 months, and I'm running again. And it's all without saying I have to do it. It just happens.
These are the words of people whose lives have changed radically because they've discovered how to gain control over their negative emotions.
I know that a lot of people are listening because I was, and I was really hurting. And I just turned on the radio, and it really helped me just like have peace at night. But I feel like I had to call. And, you know, it's very important that he stays on the radio and still gives his advice, even though people may feel that it's harsh or whatever they may feel, but it's honest and it's real, and people need to hear the truth and not have it sugarcoated.
He's very much appreciated, and he has helped me. It's been taking years for him to personally get through all the layers of things with me, but I'm coming along. We're always reaching out for an answer, and we're not reaching in. I found that in being still, it's so effortless that we're so used to our own will, we don't see it. It's all the different ways that he attacked that. I can't imagine the prison system and the military going without his services.
These people have discovered that stress itself really isn't the problem. It's the way we react to it. Learn how to deal with stress properly, and all of your other problems will begin to fade away.
Roy, thank you for all the truth you said. And since I listen to you regularly, I went from 300 pounds to 140. Before that, I quit being promiscuous. I gave up pot. I gave up going to bars. Married. Oh, we are still married almost 30 years. Listening to you, I got so much better as the years passed. Our daughters never did pot, never got drunk, never were promiscuous. Both are married, one to a soldier, one to a Marine. We're that blessed thanks to you waking just one of the parents up.
Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227. Learn a simple technique that will change your life. Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know. If you've been helped by the work Roy Masters is doing on the radio, please consider paying forward the gift you have received so others may benefit as well. The Pay It Forward program allows you to automatically donate the amount you want on a monthly basis. Even just $5 a month from people who care will make a difference. Or you can make a one-time donation and help support our radio program and website, as well as our prison ministry and Patriot Outreach program. If you'd like to contact us by mail, write to the Foundation of Human Understanding, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Or call Monday through Friday, regular business hours, West Coast time, 1-800-877-3227. Again, that's the Foundation of Human Understanding, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. For more information on the Foundation of Human Understanding, visit the website FHU.com. That's FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line. Dial 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
And welcome. It is Advice Line. I'm David Masters. And my discussions are always about the loss of control, and this being the root of all of our problems. Now, my dad says that anger is the root of all our problems. So, you know, if you have to start with an egg, and you know, like you would with a baby, then anger is the egg, and life stress is the gentlemanly, the procreation. So then the egg begins to divide, and then your whole life begins to change, see? And so anger is where the stuff of life is emptied and then begins to divide you from your original self, and you become somebody else. You grow up into an entirely different person than you would have been had you not either been a reflection or a rejection of the life that you've been living. And so I could talk about these TV shows some more, and I have a lot of good audio. But I do want to take calls, and I do have Scott in Boulder, Colorado. 1-800-866-8883. What's going on in your life, Scott, in Boulder, Colorado?
Well, I have recently got out of college, and I'm sort of at a crossroads. I either have to decide, you know, to go get a job somewhere or, you know, go on to grad school or something like that. And the thing is that when to get my degree, I had to push myself pretty hard. And when it comes down to, you know, choosing something about that, I have to come back to this question of, you know, how hard do I want to work? How hard do I want to push myself? And, you know, when I was in school, I wasn't, you know, very happy doing that. I mean, I was able to do it, but I wasn't very happy. And the words tonight came back into my head, you know, the meaning of life is too large of a question to answer, so you have to figure out the meaning of your life.
Right.
And I was wondering if you could give me some advice on the best way you'd recommend to go about doing that.
Well, the answer is beautifully simple, almost absurdly simple, because what will happen is you cannot find the meaning of life, but you can allow it to find you. But in order to do that, you have to change the way that you're living. And you gave me all these clues when you were talking, just in the couple of sentences that you said. You said you weren't happy when you weren't in school. Is that correct?
No. When I was in school, I mean, I was working hard, but I wasn't really enjoying it too much.
Okay. So, but when you're not in school, then do you have the motivation to get up and do something?
Well, right now I'm a little burnt out, and since I worked pretty hard over the summer and saved most of my money, I decided to take a few months off. So I'm not really doing much at the moment.
Okay, what are you wasting your time at school with? I mean, what's your degree in?
Physics. It's fairly applicable. I don't think.
Oh, okay.
I'm wasting my time with it.
All right. Well, that's a good one. I mean, but the only problem with that, as my dad would probably tell you, is they don't know what they're talking about. So. You see, what my dad should do is he should start a school for people like you. And then you guys could teach each other, which would be awesome. But I don't know. That might go somewhere. Who knows? But so you love science then. That's your thing.
I don't know.
Yes?
I've worked so
Maybe
hard
so?
At it for the past 4 years that I'm not sure.
You know, it sounds like you've been trying to give birth to a baby. I'm really working hard at it. So, I mean, if you work hard at something like I work hard, but I don't feel like I'm working hard. I love what I do.
So then,
and
then
it's not easy.
If you're working hard at it, like, well, then what's the way to work hard at it, but, you know, not get exhausted, not get burned out?
That has to do with motivation. And the motivation would be you're working because you believe that there's a meaning, that this is something that you are meant to do. That, you know, eventually one day you will maybe be the person who breaks through and discovers something that nobody has discovered yet. I mean, that's like any other thing that anyone should do for any reason, is that you would be the one who makes the difference of all the people who have ever done it.
Okay.
See, now, I'll give you an example. I know without a shadow of a doubt, and I told my wife this the other day, I said, you will never find in your life another person like me. In other words, there are a lot of people that are very much alike. If you go to a college campus, you know, you can identify people in groups very quickly. There's only about a dozen different kinds of people. But me, I'm a completely – nobody knows how to figure me out. I don't fit in anywhere. And I know that the way that I look at life – see, I'm just different, and I always have been. And the other thing is I'm very gifted. Now, gifted means I didn't do any of this myself. All I did was one thing. I applied myself. So when an opportunity came along and I had a chance to do something, I put my mind to it. I applied myself. And I wasn't looking for an outcome. I just said, let me give it a try. And I'll do the best that I can. And so what happens is that when you have the right attitude, no matter what you apply yourself to, you find that it either works or it doesn't work. And then you're faced with a situation like maybe what you're facing right now is, see, I don't know why you want to be a physicist. I still don't understand. What's your motivation?
What's my motivation? When I was a little kid, I really liked theoretical physics, and I thought it'd be fun. And some of it's fun, some of it's not. So that's more or less my motivation, theoretical physics, I suppose.
Okay, so now how do you make a living as a theoretical physicist?
That would be mostly academics, and I'm not sure, you know, that would make me completely happy, publishing, you know, academic papers for the rest of my life. I'm a confident guy. I'm pretty good at networking with people. If I wanted
to see, I have this theory that there's a universe that's I have a theory that there's a universe that's filled with lollipops, and I'm going to publish a paper on that. Where will that get you in life?
Probably nowhere.
So, see, you got to find something practical, is my point. And, you know, remember now, you've probably listened to the program. You've heard my dad talk about his theoretical ideas, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay. He's been working since, I don't know, 20 or more years on
really?
This one idea.
Really? Has it been that long?
Yeah. Oh,
huh.
Easily. I mean, let's see, my dad's 80. I would say it's been at least 20, 25 years, maybe. But he's been refining this one idea for that long. And, you know, he's getting closer every day. His motivation is life in his life right now is, one, he loves helping people. And I don't think you'll find anybody in the world that really understands the mind the way my dad does. He has a gift. But two, he wants to change the world. And he wants to change it in a very meaningful way. And so his motivation is help and change. And that's what makes his life feel worthwhile. That's what makes him, I mean, he's lived twice as long as his own father. And you know, he doesn't have many friends, I'll tell you that. He has a few people that call him and see how he's doing. But of all the people that he's helped, and I know some very, very famous people that he's helped, he's a friend to everyone, but there are no friends or few to him. So, you know, being a really authentic person, you begin to separate yourself out of the crowd very quickly. You begin to cull yourself out because your ideas, you know, when you have common ideas, you have very much in common with a lot of people. But when you have uncommon thoughts and ideas and beliefs, you find yourself not having that much in common with many people. So it really depends upon how much you can handle, I guess, going down the path least traveled, and if that's really what you want, see, because you know when you're a kid, I mean everything from a kid's point of view, every kid I ever talked to either wanted to be an airline pilot or the president, and I got to tell you, when you grow up, you realize those are not the best jobs in the world. Even though some people love flying, and I love flying, but I wouldn't want to be an airline pilot. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I mean, do you get my point? You've got to. I guess you've got to allow this meaning of life to dawn on you, because you'll never find it, no matter how long you look. Have you ever seen the movie The Razor's Edge?
No, I haven't.
That's a great movie about a man who spends his life looking for the meaning of life. And I would highly recommend that before you make any choice about anything, I think you should see that movie.
Well, maybe I'll watch it on Netflix tonight.
Yeah. Now, there's two versions of it. One with Bill Murray, which is actually quite good, but the original one is even better. It was made, I think, back in the 1950s.
Okay.
And it makes you ask yourself, you know, what is the meaning of my life, as you said? And it doesn't always occur to you, you know, very quickly. But if you will sit still long enough, it will catch up to you. And you'll find yourself going and doing things that you never dreamed you would go and do.
Okay.
Okay. Is that good?
That's good enough for me.
Good enough for now. Okay, good. If you have any other questions, give me a shout.
I certainly will.
Okay, Scott in Boulder, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. 1-800-866-8883. Now, there's a movie coming out that I can't wait to see, and it's being made. It'll probably be out, I believe, in the middle of the year. I think it was July. And I have the trailer for it, but if this doesn't just make your mind water, I don't know what will. Brian, you got that trailer for me? This movie is called Inception. It's going to star Leonardo DiCaprio. Play that trailer for me.
Parasite.
Another Matrix movie. This is probably going to be better than The Matrix. This is the things that I've been reading about it. July 16th, it'll be coming out. Got that queued up now? This is a movie that's going to really explore and plumb the depths of the psyche. And this is what you should all be doing every single day. All right, go ahead, replay that again.
What's the most resilient parasite? An idea. A single idea from the human mind can build cities. An idea can transform the world and rewrite all the rules. Which is why I have to steal it.
Yeah.
Never recreate from your memory. Always imagine new places.
Yeah, but, you know, this is where it really an idea is the most powerful, I don't know, it is the most powerful tool for either freedom or oppression that has or ever will exist. And these are the ideas that we struggle with. Oh, no, they think about it. The idea is the most powerful tool for freedom or oppression. Like if you look at Nazi Germany or you look at, but even looking back in history, I'm so hooked on history now. It's pathetic. I am a pathetic human being. Because, but when I was a kid, none of it made any sense to me. It didn't matter. I didn't care. All I cared about was whatever. And now I'm thirsting for a broader look into the human condition than I've ever seen before. And I watch the History Channel, and I know the History Channel's a bit slanted to the left. But to realize that there were civilizations 5,000 years ago where a million people lived in a huge, metropolitan area. The demise of these civilizations over and over throughout the course of history, always by the same means, and that is the idea, the destructive idea that virtually tears those civilizations apart at the seams. And at the same time, the constructive ideas that are so beautiful, that are embodied in our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and these beautiful ideas that are so powerful that they constrain evil, even though evil is at the doorstep and coming through the door. The power of these ideas are so immutable that the people who understand them cannot be overcome. And yet, at the same time, with those without vision perish. And so this program really is so dedicated to helping your eyes become open from within so that you can see the things you're missing. All right, more when I come back. This is Advice Line. I'm David Masters. Please visit the website, FHU.com. If you want your eyes, your inner eyes to open, listen to the Be Still and Know exercise. We're using it now in the military. It is having amazing impact.
Are you ready to stop struggling with your problems?
Every night I take a drive out into the wilderness area around here and sometimes wept because I couldn't figure out what was still wrong. What he did for me is he bore witness to everything that was already running through my mind, and through doing that, helped me delve into my past and see where things went wrong. And as the resentment has fallen away, as he says, without trying, my bad habits are disappearing.
Are you ready to stop being so emotional and angry and upset all the time?
The drinking's gone. The drugging is gone. I quit smoking 5 months ago, and I don't even care about it anymore. It's amazing. I've lost 15 pounds in the last 2 months, and I'm running again. And it's all without saying I have to do it. It just happens.
These are the words of people whose lives have changed radically because they've discovered how to gain control over their negative emotions.
I know that a lot of people are just...
Are you one of the millions of people that suffers with anxiety? If you want to be free, you have to ask yourself why, and then accept the truth that will set you free.
I've noticed is it's not really resentment that I seem to be recovering from. It's anxiety. It seems like whenever the subject of either fear, anxiety, worry come up, the conversation turns to resentment. So through this observation exercise and through being just, you know, really being willing to walk through the fire, I've been seeing some stuff that's really uncomfortable, like that feeling in the solar plexus, that tingling, uncomfortable feeling. I used to cover that feeling up through, you know, smoking cigarettes, adrenaline that came through sex. So if I felt that fear feeling, I'd turn it into adrenaline and try to take control. Now I see what he was talking about. Something to the effect of you become subject to your will. There are times when I'll wake up in the morning and I'll realize that I've been dreaming for the last 2 hours, and I'm sitting here having dreams I don't want to have. And, I mean, I'm talking about compelling dreams that I would normally, if I was awake, I would be feeling compelled to act on. Things that are destructive ideas. I think what it is that temptation pops up, and the moment that you actually act on it, you've just fed it, thinking that, oh, if I just give in to it, it'll go away. You end up being subject to it. That is what I think you're referring to.
So the question is, how do you stop the endless loop of thinking that compels you to do the things you don't want to do, to have the fears you don't want to have? It's simple. Visit FHU.com. That's FHU.com. And download Be Still and Know. It will neutralize the thoughts that come through your mind. Visit FHU.com and conquer anxiety now.
You're listening to Advice Line. Dial 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
And welcome back to Advice Line. David Masters here. Roy Masters takes the night off on Friday and lets me wreak havoc upon the world. Something like that, anyway. But I am the master deprogrammer. If I can call myself that. Maybe that's a little narcissistic. Maybe I should just be a humble servant. That's better. I want to play now for you some very, very insightful discussion about the topic that we're on tonight, which is the hypnosis of life. And by the way, that's another book that my dad has written, The Hypnosis of Life. Again, another book that will shatter, that will cause an iconoclasm in your life. I think that's the right word. You know, it's a destruction of idols, complete destruction of images and idols. But anyway, this is from some audio that I found, and I can't remember. I know one of the people is Wayne Dyer, who I really like. And I don't remember the name of the doctor that's going to be talking here. But listen to what this doctor has said. Now, this is a research scientist, this guy who's going to be talking in this clip. Listen to what the research has said. Go ahead.
We are already downloading programs in utero. When we are in a fetal stage, we're already downloading behaviors that we're acquiring from our parents. And when you're born, it's already been determined about half your personality is already established at the time of birth. Things that we have no cognizance of, no awareness of, because they were so early in our lives, are things that are programming our lives on a day-by-day basis, which means there's a tendency to disempower us, and that's what the programs in the subconscious are. You've heard parents talk to kids like, who do you think you are? You don't deserve this. You're not smart enough. You're a sickly child. And here's the simple point. If you're under 6 years of age and you hear these proclamations, they go straight down into the subconscious mind and they're programmed there. Now you ask, why is my life difficult? And the answer is this. Because only 5% of your life is coming from what you want, and 95% is the program from the subconscious mind, which is programmed by others, and almost all of that is limiting your ability. So 95% of the day, you're not following what you want, you're following other people's programs.
How true it is. How true, how true. But you see, this is what I'm talking about. This is the hypnosis of life. This is the vampire bat that's on your back, the mosquito that's on your front. And as a matter of fact, you're covered with mosquitoes and vampire bats. And they are injecting you constantly with the anesthetizing substances that... And you got to think about it. What is the nature of addiction? Yes, no, yes, no, yes. Emotion. Emotion is the mother of addiction, of all addiction. And so whoever has control over your emotions, in other words, whoever can make you feel good, whoever you give the power to make you feel good, you equally give the power to make your life a living hell. And that is why you've got to begin the process of inoculation against these forces in this world that we live in. Because if you don't, you will be a victim. And you'll be able to point your finger at the world and say it's their fault, and you'll be right, but the person you've forgotten are the three fingers pointing back at you. Go to FHU.com. Begin the program. Be still and know. FHU.com. Be still and know.
Are you ready to take control over your life?
Before I got involved in doing the observation exercise, I used to go to a 12-step group. I don't go to them anymore because I discovered that they're basically worthless because all I'm doing is talking about my past. Since I started doing the exercise, I barely think about the past anymore. It's going away. But even in those periods when I used to go to these recovery groups, it seemed like the longest period of time I could ever go without backsliding would be like 3 months. This time, I don't feel guilty about what I did. I understand what I did. This type of an incident in the past would have put me in a depression. I would have stopped working, just created more and more pain for myself. You talk about how you effortlessly will leave these things behind, and it's so true. It's so amazing.
Are you ready to stop struggling? Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Learn how to deal with stress properly. Visit FHU.com. Are you overwhelmed by pressure and stress?
Already things are being resolved in my life. Fences are coming down. I'm mending fences that really broke the ice fly. I'm so grateful.
Are you ready to have your life become a success story?
I had gone through 15 years of therapy with a psychiatrist. It still didn't help. So I bought several of the CDs, and he had a lot of the answers that I didn't get with a doctor. It's been real helpful. I don't get as worked up about problems. I just stay calm. Different things will come up, and I'll just work it out.
Are you ready to stop struggling? Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227. Learn a simple technique that will change your life. Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know.